Hey, Boker Tov,
Chag Sameach.
Today's daf is daf Kuf Dalid in Ksubas.
What's Chag Sameach?
Yom Yerushalayim. Okay. Right from the top of Kuf Dalid Mar Aleph. Hu Yom Adanach Nafshei De Rebbe, the day that Rebbe died, Gozer, a famous day, Gozer Rabbanan Tani, so the Rabbanan were Gozer Atanis. So the Tanis wasn't only, as we'll see, not just that because he died like in mourning. After he died, they also goes to Tanis and says over here, because Barachma, Amr Koman, Amr Nachnafshe, the Rebbe Yidka Becherav. In other words, it's not clear whether they made this Tanis because he was deathly ill and said, no, let nobody say he died. Maybe he's not dead yet, like that. And where it goes to Tanis that he should try to live, or we're praying that he should live. Or whether it was actually in mourning. But anyway, they go to Tanis and they said that nobody should say the Chas V'Chilul that he died. When he said he died, he should be pierced with a sword. Salika Amsei Derabi Leibra. She went up to the roof. Amra. So, much from this discussion that he wasn't dead yet, and they were praying that he shouldn't die. She went up to the roof, Amr, and she prayed, Yonim of Akshanis Rebbe, the heaven, so to speak, the angels want Rebbe up there, V'atachton of Akshanis Rebbe, and here the mortals want Rebbe down here. Yiratzen she'ekuf v'tachton of Mesal Yon, let the mortals defeat the angels. In other words, let Rebbe stay alive, let's keep him down here. Kim d'chazoi kam azim the dial basic say. Rebbe, as we said the other day, Rebbe, yesterday we all said this, that tzaddikim die a lot of times through stomach, they had stomach problems. In those days, I guess, you know, the hygiene wasn't what it was, and whatever, the food, and a lot of them had stomach issues. So, he was constantly running to the bathroom. In those days, they wore tefillin all day, so every time he went to the bathroom, excuse me, he had to take off his mechalitz to fill in the malchut, and then he had to put them back on. To come at star, he saw how difficult it was that he had to constantly take them off and put them on and take them off and put them on. So she saw how difficult it was. Amra, she says, if this is his life, it's not worth it anymore. Yiratzen she'akufo el yonim esachtonim. Let the heavens defeat him. Let, you know, take him already. It's like she saw how much Rebbe was suffering, so she said, you know what? Let God take him already. V'lavishaske rabbanim milaboy rachmi. But as we said, the rabbis were in fasting, and they were praying 24/7 for Rebbe to live. So they didn't stop davening, so he wouldn't die. Remember, it was by David HaMelech also. You know, he kept on learning, so he wouldn't die until, you know, somebody rustled the leaves or whatever. So here also, they didn't. She didn't. They never stopped davening. So his neshama could not leave. She took a pitcher, she threw it down from the roof, lower to the ground. So all of a sudden, people heard the noise, and they stopped for a second. What was that noise? You know, they stopped learning. That second he died. Rabbi Zil Ayin. We stopped learning for a second. Go check. What's the story? Ozel. He went. Bar Kapara went in. Ashkei de Nachnafshe. He found the Rebbe had died. Kari Lavusha. He tore Kriya. But he didn't want to, if he would have come in with the torn garment, they would have known. It's like as if he said, uh-oh, he's dead, you know. So he didn't want to do it. So he tore Kriya La'aloch, and then he pushed it back up. He put the cloth, his clothing back in place. La'chore, put it backwards, so they wouldn't notice that it was torn. Pasuk V'yomar, and he starts like this. Elim ha'metzukim, again, the angels and the tzaddikim. Metzukim is the lashon of tzaddikim. Rashi says metzukei aretz. Tzaddikim metzukei aretz are like ones oppressed on the earth. The angels and the mortals, the tzaddikim echzu baron kodesh, they both grabbed the aron kodesh. That's what he called Rebbe. Nitzchor melsum metzukim. You know what? The upper ones defeated the lower ones, as if to say v'nashba aron kodesh, and the aron kodesh was taken into captivity. So effectively, he was saying that they got him. Amalei, so they said, Nach Nafshei, is he dead? Did he die? Amalei, Atonach, you said it. I didn't say those words. Remember, he said, whoever says that he's dead is going to get pierced with a sword. I didn't say that. Vana look at me at him. Shaspi Dasa Shrebi, Zakav Esrat Sposav Kod Malei, he put his 10 fingers up towards the heaven. In other words, he died. When he died, he put his 10 fingers were facing the heavens. Amar Rabbanu Shalom, Gol Gadol Fenech Shigat Beser Mitzvosai B'Torah. I used all 10 fingers. In other words, I used all my power only for Torah. Anisi Afilu Be'etzba Ketana. And I didn't even have commensurate hanof in this world. Rebbe was an extremely wealthy man, plus a great Talmud Chacham, the leader of Bnei Yisrael, the prince of Bnei Yisrael. And still he says, I didn't have a commensurate pleasure from this world, even as much as my small finger. In other words, it wasn't that he had no pleasure, but he said he didn't have any pleasure. He didn't have a commensurate pleasure with the amount of work that he put in. He didn't take pleasure back. He didn't make any money out of the Torah. He wrote some fenecha shi'ehe shalom v'nechasa. There should be peace in my death and as my resting place. Yatsa baskal v'amra. Yavo shalom. Let him come in peace. Anucha mishkavosam. Let them rest on their beds. So what do you mean on their beds? Rebbe died. He's talking about if the baskal went out, it should say, Yavo shalom. Let him come in peace. Yanuch al mishkavo. It should say, Yanuch al mishkavcha. You may rest in peace. What do you mean? Yanuch, they will rest on their beds. What does that mean? Al mishkavcha mi boile. Messiah Rav Chiya bar Gamda. This is the proof for Rav Chiya bar Gamda. Since the baskal said, Yanuch al mishkavosam. Rav Chiya bar Gamda. Amar Rav Yosi ben Shaul. B'shosh atzadik niftum olam. When a tzadik dies. Amar al chashes lev nishma. The ministering angels say before God, Rav Shalom tzadik poloni ba. This tzadik is on his way up. We hear he's on his way. He tells me, Yavod tzadikim at the tzadikim v'yetzlok rasa. All the tzadikim in heavens already should come and greet him. They tell him, Yavod b'shalom, Yanucha mishkavosam. What does that mean? And they say, let him come in peace. And then they, the tzadikim, everybody, together with the new entry, the new person, they will all rest on their beds. Amar Blazer, b'shoshak tzadik nifrim olam. When the tzadik dies, shalosh kitos shamalach yasharos yotzis l'kraso. Three groups of ministering angels go out to greet him. Achas Mereslo, one tells him, Yavo b'shalom, let him come in peace. Achas Mereslo, holech nechcho, he walked straight, he walked in a straight way, he was a good guy. Achas Mereslo, Yavo shalom, let him come in peace. Let them rest on their beds. And again, the rest, them means the tzadikim, including tzadikim, who came to greet him. That's why it's in a plural. B'shasha Rasha Nebelam, when a Rasha unfortunately dies, is lost from the world. Shalosh kitos b'shalom, chabol yotz l'kraso. Three groups of destructive angels go out to greet him. Machas Mereslam, one says, Ein Shalom Amra Hashem L'Sham. He quotes a pasuk saying that there is no peace, says God, for the Rasham. Machas Mereslam, Ma'atseva Tishkevun. One says that he will rest in sorrow. Machas Mereslam, Redei, go down, V'Hashkevei Eser Hilem, and go lie down with the uncircumcised. Let's go down, lie down with the bad guys. So to speak, the nouns with the goyim. That's what they go out and they greet him. So the tzaddikim are greeted one way, and the rishon are greeted another way. Back to our ksuba. Remember we said that when a husband dies, when a man dies, his wife can live and is sustained from the orshim until she gets remarried. How long? So the mishnah is called manchi b'beisavi. As long as she goes, if she goes back to her father's house, she can collect her ksuba forever. Now, in other words, she's in her father's house, but as long as she's not living with them, she can accept it. Calls mine, she baseball. If she's in her husband's house, her deceased husband's house, go to us ad esmer chamesh, only for 25 years. It's a long time. Sheish b'chaveshana shetasa tova connects to us a different Rameir. Rameir is saying like this. Rameir says, you know why? Only for 25 years. Because if she's in her husband's house, we assume that besides what he gives, what the Yorshim, the children, whatever, are feeding her, she also makes liberal use. She's going to use the phone. She's using electricity. She's using a lot of stuff. And she also might be generous with it. A neighbor needs some bread. She gives out some bread. She's in the house. She's using up the assets of the house. So we assume in the course of 25 years, what she has spent out of the assets of the house, besides what she was eating as part of the ksuba, probably is commensurate with the 25, with the ksuba.
Let's say ksuba is only like 200 shekels.
Right, it's only $200. Now we'll say machlokes, but it could be tosus also. It could be more. It could be if he has more. But let's say it's $200. Okay. So we're saying $200 is a lot of money. It's not like 200 shekels is a lot of money. It's not like 200 shekels today. It's a lot of money. But whatever it is, we assume that okay, they feed her that she's entitled to besides the $200. But in the course of 25 years, she probably spent the $200. Giving somebody, maybe somebody came to the door for tzedakah, or some neighbor wanted some salt, or some milk, or some bread, or whatever like that. So we assume, after 25 years, if she's still been in the husband's house, she's already spent a ksuba, and that's it. If it's in her father's house, if she's father's house, then she can collect it forever. That's what Rameir says. This is the Tanakh.
Isn't there a simpler explanation?
Yeah.
That you know, the 25 years of rent that she's saved is the...
No, but that she's entitled to. That she's entitled to as part of the ksuba. Just like she's entitled.
She's in her father's house. She wouldn't get rent.
No, in the father's house. In the father's house. In her father's house. Oh, right, no, just said. The opposite. So, okay, it makes sense the other way. But in her father's house, she can get it. Oh, so you're saying that that's why she should get it forever. She should get it in the ksuba. She can get it in her father's house forever because she's not using up any rent. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, that could be. But it's basically because there's no time limit on the ksuba. There's no time limit on the ksuba in a regular case, unless something else is the case, the ksuba is forever. What's the difference when? So he says, in a father's house, the ksuba is forever. But this is a Rameir sheet, we're going to have a different opinion in a minute. But if she's in her husband's house, we assume that she must have given some food, she must have taken more than her ksuba, besides her maintenance and her rent, which she's entitled to. She's renting there, she's living there rent-free. It's not really a cheer, so she saved some money by not paying rent. But they're entitled to say, stay here. We saw the other day, they're entitled to say, stay here in the house and live with us. If you're going to live over there, we don't have to send the food over there. Remember, we saw that in the mission. They could say, or they can just give commensurate with what it would cost them in their own house. But we're not looking at the rent. In their house, they have to maintain her, give her ksuba, give her free rent and board, whatever. That's all part of it. But we're assuming Cormier's reason is that after 25 years, she probably spent enough money out of the household kitty there, you know, that she probably used up her ksuba. The Gemara will ask, if that's the case according to the Shita, so let's say she asked for it after 12 and a half years, ksuba. So wouldn't you say that her ksuba should be diminished proportionally? She probably used that money up too, and right? If the idea is that in 25 years she used up her ksuba because she spent it out of the petty cash, then whatever time, it's not just 25 years, if she was there 20 years, so she spent 80% of it, so she should only get the other 20%. That's, Mara's going to ask that kasha. That's all, we assume in 25 years, she spent that money connecting to Diver a mayor, Shem Shem Gamliel. That was the Rose Reserve mayor who said the name of Shem Gamliel. Bachamah and the Chum say, Kozman she bebeis bala, as long as she's in her husband's house, the other way around. Chum says, as long as she's in her husband's house, she can collect forever. The Ramadan don't look at that business about maybe she spent money from petty cash at all. They look at it differently. Chum say, listen, if she's in her husband's house, she can collect it forever. Why? You say, why didn't she collect her ksuba now? Listen, she feels funny. I'm going to ask for the money. I'm living in their house. They're feeding me every day, free rent. I'm going to ask, can I please have my ksuba? She's embarrassed. So she didn't say anything. Chum kozman she bebeis bala, gavuk ksuba, kozman she bebeis aviyah, but if she's in her father's house, if she's in her father's house, she doesn't see them every day, right? They sent over some...
I'm confused there. Someplace we learned that there's only so many months that they have before she collects it to them, that they're obliged to feed her.
That's when she gets married. When she gets married and had Arison, he had Arison first, and then he he's delaying the wedding, right? Uh-huh. So after 12 months, he has to start feeding her also. That's when they get married. Here we're talking about when he died. So when he died, she could say, listen, give me my ksuba right now and I'm out of here. I'm moving to Vegas, you know. Give me my money right now. She could do that. But if she's also entitled to stay in the father, in her husband's house and be sustained by the Orshim. So then she could ask her, she'll get her ksuba whenever she asks for it. So whenever she asks for it, is that forever? Rameir says, well, if she's in her father's house, then she could ask her forever. If she's in her husband's house, we assume that she used up out of petty cash over 25 years, she already got her ksuba. The Chacham said the other way, Chacham said, Kozman, if she's in her husband's house, she can collect it forever. You know why? Because she was too embarrassed to ask for it. You're feeding me every day, I'm going to ask you for money. She feels she doesn't have the confidence to ask for it. Kozman, she basically, but let's say she's in her father's house where she doesn't see their chesed every day, go with Tubasa only until 25 years. Because why didn't she ask for the ksuba? She should have demanded it. So therefore, the Chacham say the reason why it's only until 25 because we assume after 25 years she was mocho. You didn't ask your ksuba, you know, her husband died in New York. She moves to Vegas. And she, you know, maybe they send her a check once in a while, you know, because according to what we saw yesterday, you know, what it would have cost them in New York. But after 25 years, she didn't ask for a ksuba. We assume that she was mochala. That's how the Chum learned. And we'll see, this is also, the Gemara is also going to say, that's only if she didn't have a written ksuba. If she has a written ksuba, written document, she could also ask for it forever. Mesa, let's say she dies, and now who gets her ksuba when she dies? Her own children. Yorshea, Maskir, and Tzubasar, so they also have only till 25 years. 25 years from the time that the woman's husband died. Because after 25 years, we assume they were mocho. Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef. I understand. This, you see, like you said, it's 200 hours. Aniyah of Israel at 25 shana. Umarsa bas Baisa at 25. Marsa bas was a very wealthy woman. So you're saying that in 25 years, you say after, according to the first sheet, the Rameir says after 20, if she's in her husband's house only till 25 years, because at 25 years we assume that she already spent the money out of petty cash, but it's the same amount of money whether a poor girl gets, let's say, $200. Let's say she's a rich girl and she, you know, she's a what we call a high maintenance person. And maybe she had a very big suba also. So you're going to say it's the same amount of money that's used up out of petty cash? It's the same thing? He says, yes, amalei lefum gam la shichna. According to the camel is the payload. In other words, if you have a small camel, smaller payload. Big camel, bigger payload. Meaning, the richer she is, the more money she spends. So even if her ksuba's more, she probably also donated more money on the outside. So that's what they said. Iboilu, rameir mao shetishalish. What about kontramayor, like you said, I said before, what do you split it? Meaning, according to the Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, first let's say the opposite. The Rabbanan say, in your father's house, if you didn't ask for them, if she goes to her father's house, and if she moves out of there, when you say father's house, it means she moves out of, she's not living in her husband's house. In her, if she moved out of the house, she's got to ask it within 25 years, otherwise she's mochel. That's it. It nothing to do with money she spent. After 25 years, she should have asked for it. After 25 years, she didn't ask for it, she's mochel. According to her mayor, the reason is, in her husband's house, she's only entitled to 25 years, not in her father's house. Just in her husband's house, only 25, because we assume she spent that money already. So like I said, let them, she lived not 25, let's say it was 12 and a half years, or 5 years, or 10 years. Do you assume she also spent a certain amount of exuma, and she's not entitled to it? That question stands. But Chomram calls Malcham say, again, that it depends on lace. As long as she's in her father's house, then she can get her exuma only till 25 years. In her husband's house, she gets it forever, because she was too embarrassed to ask for it. In other words, she wasn't mochel. The reason she didn't ask for it even at the 30-year mark is because she's embarrassed. So she, even after 30 years, she can ask for ksuba according to the chachamim. That's if she's in her husband's house. But in her father's house, she should have asked for the money. Otherwise, she's mochel. Amli Abayla Rabbi Yosef. Asoi kodim, she goes, I understand this business. You know, according to Rameir, I understand that, you know, you could ask, you could say, well, she spent the money little by little over 25 years. According to the chachamim say, look, if she's in her father's house, up until 25 years, she can demand it. But as soon as 25 years happen, we assume she's mochelet if she didn't ask for it. So I said, Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, if she comes right before Shkias Chama on the 25th, the day, the anniversary of 25 years, she comes, you know, she's coming, I guess, for the yard site. You know, she's coming for the yard site, for the Askara. Also, if she comes before Shkias Chama, she can get a she comes after Shkia Logavi, Bahi Porta. In that few minutes, after 25 years go by, you know, after 25 years go by, in that little few minutes, she was mochel. I'm like, hey, call me this chachami. That's when this chacham say 25 years. They have a kabbalah that's what we go by 25 years. For example, he says also babam savatal. We know that mikveh has to be 40 saw exactly, at least babam saw chasam. Let's say it's 40 saw. Why? Because that's when a person can fit in. Let's say it's 40 saw less a drop. There's no person in the world, if you took it, if you had exactly 40 saw and a mikveh, and some person went and took a drop out of it. Is there any way you could notice that? You wouldn't notice it. But that's a Kabbalah. 40 less 40 saw, even less a drop. Anyhow, you can't be mochel. Then we have to put fixed rules, and that's not, that was the Chacham's Kabbalah. So that's the machlok. So I'm going to give Rav. Hey, Rav Shlomo Yosef, with Nei Rabbi, Shom Shimab, the said it named his father, Lo Shal Shain Shtak Suba. As we said, this whole business about after 25 years she can't demand it anymore is only if there's no Shtak Suba. She doesn't have the Suba. When she's demanding her Suba, when she's demanding her Suba, she doesn't have the written Suba in front of her. Right? That's only if she doesn't have the Suba. Lo Shanu, Elish Ain Shtak Suba Yosem Nachsida Aval, Yoda Aval Shtak Suba Yosem Nachsida, she has actually Shtak Suba, because she could always collect it forever. The business of 25 years doesn't apply. We're assuming we're going even according to Rabbanan. Rabbanan says, no, Afil Shtak Suba Yosem Nachsida Yoda, Ain Agaval Adasar Chashma, she can only collect it, as we said, if she's in her father's house, according to Chachamim, she can only collect for up to 25 years, even if she has a Shtak Suba. See, the first opinion is, if she was mochelet, what do you mean after 25 years? If she has a Shtak Suba, why would she keep the Shtak Suba if she was mochelet? She would give it to them if she's mochelet. So therefore, if she has a Shtak Suba, even after 25 years, she can collect. Rav Lezer disagrees, says no, she's mochelet even if she has a Shtak Suba. Masa Rav Sheshes, now we're going to ask Akasha on the first opinion. Let's say a Baal Chov was owed money by the deceased. He can collect even without mentioning. He doesn't have to complain. He doesn't have to demand his money within 25 years. He can collect forever. What's the case? If he doesn't know shtar, what is he collecting with? Ela nakashtar, must be that he's holding a shtar. Ubachov hu de la barchulia. Bachov is not going to be mochel money. Why would a lender be mochel the loan? A woman, an almana, would mochel the loan because, you know, she lived in the house, she got food from them, so she could say, forget it. But a bachov would be, a bachov hu de la barchulia, ha almana chilta. She's mochel it, mashma, even if she had a ksuba. So this sounds like her blazer. So he asked the kasha, Rav Sheshi asked the kasha, who most of love, whom farkle? He answered it, lo lam de lo nakashtar. She has no shtar over here. So how is she collecting with it? If she's no shtar, how's the Baal Chov collecting? Speaking about, he didn't have a shtar, but the lover was murdered, that he owed the money. Guy comes to you after 50 years and says, I lent you money 50 years ago. I don't have the shtar anymore. I said, I remember, I do owe you the money. Here's the money. And if I'm murdered, I can pay it. So the Baal Chov, so when there's no shtar Chov, the Baal Chov can still collect. When there's no IOU, the Baal Chov can still collect if the guy's murdered. He says, I'm murdered owing money. But we're saying an almana, though, an almana in a case like that, let's say at the 50-year mark, if she doesn't have shtar, she's mochel. But it could be, but if there was a shtar, then she's not mochel. Ivan Rulon, Rav Loh said, Shana, we learned in the Brisa, grusha reik mochel, that a divorce woman was like a balchov, meaning she could always collect, because she's not going to be mochel. Hechidam idolon, so if she doesn't know the ksub, what is she collecting with? Elav den akit ksub, but notice she says, she's collecting with the ksuba. What about the get? The get said we tear up the get, right? She gets the get, we tear it up. She's collecting with the ksuba. Or she's collecting with the samdang. Elav den akit ksuba. For grusha, he'd love us. So grusha is collecting what? The reason she collects even after 50 years, whatever, is because she's not mochel. Why would she be mochel? Paul Mona, Achil, but Almana, who was sustained by the husband and lived in the house and all that, maybe she could be mochel. So Mashman Almana would be mochel. And we're speaking about even when there's a shtar. Here also speaking about where the person who had to pay it, in this case, the husband of the divorcee, the divorced husband, was motivated. He hadn't paid it yet. Not all divorces are so bad that the guy's going to lie. They're not all divorcees are liars. So he was motivated in that case. But again, if there was a shtar, you can collect forever. Rav Yehuda Bar Koza, that was named in the Brisa, the Beit Rasa, in the Brisa of the school of Bar Koza. He said, like, it's Tavik Subasa, she demanded a Ksuba Rei Kibetchila. It's like starting all over again. So, therefore, he says, like this, we said that you have to wait 20. If you don't have a shtar, remember we said, if you have a shtar, if you have the Ksuba itself, you can collect forever. If you don't have the Ksuba, you collect only until 25 years, if she's in her father's house. If she's in her husband's house, we understand that she was too embarrassed. But if she's in her father's house until 25 years, but let's say she demanded a ksuba, and then she says, she brought it up. She says, by the way, you owe me the ksuba, don't forget about that. Let's say she brought that up at the 20-year mark, then she's got another 25 years. In other words, if we're talking about, say, 25 years, 25 years has to be, or we're talking about passing 25 years without any mention of the ksuba. If she actually had the physical shtar ksuba, go to us, she collected forever. Shalchei Rav Nachman bar Rav Chistel or Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. He asked this question. Amdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us, Rabbi. Kshishtar ksubi yotz mitach ziyon ha-machlokas, the machlokas on a mish between Rav Meir and the Chacham. The Rav Meir says what? The 25 years is when, if it's in her husband's house. But if it's in her father's house, it's forever. And the Chacham say the opposite. If she's in her father's house, she has to demand 25 years because it's based on mechila, not on using petty cash. And if she's in her husband's house, she can ask him forever. Is that machlokas? When she has a shtar ksuba, or maybe there's no shtar, but if she had a shtar, everybody agrees she'd collect rather. And also, who's Allah like? He answered him, B'she'en shtar ksuba yotz mitach ziyada. The shtar, the Amish is speaking about when there's no shtar ksuba. There's no shtar ksuba, so she's collecting based on the fact that the guy's moda, or there were Adam who saw that whatever the circumstances were, but she has no shtar ksuba. Then there's machlokas, how do you count the 25 years? Is it 25 years or it's forever? But if there was a shtar, everybody agrees that you can collect forever. So again, shalach lei, b'shein shtar ksuba yotz mitach ziyada, machlok is when there's no shtar. Shtar ksuba yotz mitach ziyada, if she had a shtar, go to Muslim, she collect ksuba forever. And he also passed halach is like the chacham, like we normally do. Halach is like a rov, can I get a yachim? Even though that's her mayor, but we pass him like the chachamim, and therefore the psak is when there's no shtar ksuba, and she's in her husband's house, you could still collect forever, because she's embarrassed to ask for it. She's not mochel. But if she's no shtar ksuba and she's in her father's house and she hasn't asked for it by 25 years, she's mochel. However, if she has a shtar ksuba, she can collect forever. She's not mochel. Kiyosar Abdim, Vim Kem Eretz Yisrael, Omar Avshim, Mampazi, Omar Avshu, Omar Levi, Mishum Bar Kapar, Lo Shon Olam, Mara Masayim. This whole business, the machlokis, is about collecting the 25 years is only for the basic part of the ksuba, that $100 or $200. Aval Tosfos, Yeshla. But the extra part, the extra part of the ksuba, meaning the extra $200, not $200, the part over $200, like then $1 million or $10,000, whatever he adds on, yeshla, because he says that's a matana. That's a gift. That's not a... In other words, it's part of the ksuba, but how do you look at that extra part? Do you look at it as part of the ksuba, or do you look at it as a gift by itself? So since it's a gift, it's not dependent on goodwill or being mochel or whatever. So it's not part of the ksuba. That's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochanan and Levi said. For Rav Avuhu and Rav Yochanan, how we paskin, even the Tosas just get also, it's all part of the ksuba. The conditions of the ksuba are all part of the ksuba. Therefore, the extra part also, she's mochel. You don't look at the extra part as a matana separate from the ksuba, and that she's mochel the ksuba, whatever, but rather, the entire ksuba is looked at the same way, and therefore she's mochel that as well. Okay. We also have a brice, but a mara said, Amarabba, Amarafuna, Amaravlo, Shalamana Masayim. That's only for the 100 or the 200, the basic part of the ksuba. Avotosis Yeshua, but the extra part, she's entitled to. Omale Rav Abba or Rav Huna. Now, Rav Abba said that name of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, that's only Lo Shalom Amana Masayim. Aval Tosfas Yeshla. But the extra part, she is entitled to. So we have this Bryce that Rav Huna is saying it, like Bar Kapara, right? Not like Rabbi Yochanan. Omale Rav Abba or Rav Huna. So Rav Abba said to Rav Huna, Omale Rav Hochi, did Rav really say that? Did Rav really say that? Because that's not how we paskin. Omale. So Rav Huna said to him, Ishtakin Kamran, when you're questioning me, are you questioning me like you're saying, are you like incredulous? Did Rav say something like that? I don't hold that way. I disagree with that. Oh, Ashtakin Kamran, are you telling me, I'll drink to that. You know, I'll drink to that. I agree with you. I'll drink to that. That's a good vart. Omale Ishtakin come in. I'm telling you, I'm asking you to be quiet, meaning I think that you're wrong. You're saying that Rav Huna said, in the name of Rav, that only applies, that's been about the 25 years, only applies to the basic part. But the extra part, she can collect forever. That's what he said. So Rav Abba said, Rav Huna, did Rav really say that? I don't think so. And Taka, we seem to pass on like Rav Yochanan, that makes no difference whether it's the Tosas Ksuba or the regular Ksuba. It can only be collected until 25 years if there is no written Ksuba and if she's in her father's house, according to Rabbanan. But according to Rabbanan, if she's in her husband's house, then even if it's not written down, she can collect it forever, because the reason she'd ask for it is because she's embarrassed, so she's not mochel. Again, according to Rabbanan, it's not a question of her using petty cash, it's a question of was she mochel or not. So Rabbanan say, if in your father's house and you don't see the guy, this is important, because when she's in her father's house, if she's in their house and they're feeding her every day, you know, she feels uncomfortable asking for more money. If she's in her father's house, she should have asked for the money. So if she doesn't ask for the money and she doesn't have a written ksuba, she doesn't ask for it within 25 years, we assume that she's mochel the ksuba. However, if she has a written ksuba, then she can collect it forever. Okay, now the Gemara is going to have a story. Cham seid Rav Chiya Aricha, the mother-in-law of Chiya Aricha, insis ach v'habe, was married to his brother. Marriage says, what does that mean? Rav Chiya Aricha, not the regular Rav Chiya, the long Rav Chiya, the tall Rav Chiya, was married to a woman. And her mother was married to his brother. Is that mutter? Why not? One guy's married to a woman, and his brother's married to her mother. You know, I don't know what that be, whatever.
He likes an older woman.
What?
He likes an older woman,
right? Maybe he was an older brother.
Older brother.
Okay. So, the Amana Babesi, what happened was that mother-in-law, which was his mother-in-law, I guess, is also his sister-in-law, right? So his mother-in-law is his sister-in-law. So that mother-in-law, the husband died. His brother died. Now, as his brother died, Rav Chiya Aricha's brother died, he was the Yoresh. He was the heir. So he had the responsibility now of feeding his mother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Because he was basically feeding his... He was doing the duty that his brother. His brother had a ksuba with his mother-in-law that he was going to feed her after he died, and he died. So now Rav Chiya was the one responsible. So Ve'amar Ve'isav Yahave V'zona Esr M'chamei Shonim. You know, and he was on top of it because his wife said, "Did you feed mom today? You know, so you know he fed his mother-in-law for 25 years. V'zona Esr M'chamei Shonim. In her father's house. Thank God she didn't live in his house, you know. But she went back home, huh?
Assuming there are no kids here. Huh? They're assuming there are no kids here.
Correct. The Arshim would have correct. There were no kids over here. Maybe she was an older woman. Anyway, so she was back in her father's house, meaning she wasn't she didn't live in the husband's house. And Rabbi Yechiya took care of feeding her for 25 years as the sole heir. Let's say that's what he did. Lasof, the end. Amrle, after 25 years, Amrle, she says, "Mhavim, can you please continue on with the mazonos?" Amrle, lesach mazonos. You're not entitled to mazonos because remember we learned before, you're only entitled to mazonos as long as you're entitled to the ksuba. Remember, once you collect the ksuba, that's it. Go home, Charlie. So Amrle, havli mazonos, give mazonos. Amrle, lesson, you don't have mazonos. Amrle, havli ksuba. So havli ksuba, give my ksuba. Amrle, lo mazonis lach v'lo ksuba. You're not entitled to anything anymore. Now let's not get into the family issues over here. You know, but he was saying you're not responsible to feed anymore. Now again, Rav Chia was supposed to feed her from not from his personal assets, but from the assets that he inherited from his brother. But don't forget, it gets complicated because since let's assume he was the sole heir, like you said, there were no other children, his brother didn't have any children, the sole heir, they're all his assets now, right? His own assets are his assets and his assets. If somebody dies, and if your great uncle dies and left you $10,000, right? Now you're the only heir and that's the entire estate. You take that $10,000, you put it in your bank account. There's no law that says you got to keep that money separate from your other money. It's your money, right? Okay. So now let's say he inherited, but we assume that there's property there, whatever he inherited. So he fed the sister-in-law, who was his mother-in-law, for 25 years. She came and demanded a ksuba, and she says, "I'm sorry, 25 years is up. That's it. I fulfill my obligation." Right? You weren't in the husband's estate. You're in the husband's house. Where did you live? In the father's house. Right? In her father's house. What are the rabbis saying on Mishnah? That if there's no written ksuba, and she's in her father's house, she's got 25 years. After that, she's mochel. Okay. So Tavase Ladina came before a Din Torah, right? She sued him for the money. Now this is getting a little complicated. The mother-in-law suing son-in-law, but she sued him to Din. Kamed Rabbi Rashiel, before Rabbi Rashiel, Amrle said like this. Emily, tell me, this is a famous line. Emily, tell me in truth, easy, tell me the truth. Gufaduv the Hechavi, please give me all the details. I want to hear the whole story. How did this happen over these 25 years? Amrle Zanisa Asur Mechameshana, I fed her for 25 years, but Minash in her father's house. Bachaye Damar, I swear on your life, the Bekasvoy Amtila, I schlepped the food to her all the time. I was the one who took the food to her. As I was, like, I sent her a check once and I never saw her for 25 years. I was schlepping the food for her all the time. Amrle, so he said like this. So Rabbi Rashiel Paskin, time at Mayim Rabbana calls man she be olam. Why did the rabbi say that if she's in her husband's house, not her father's house, she was in her father's house, but why did the rabbi say that if she's in her husband's house, she can collect a ksuba forever, even though there's no written ksuba? Why? Because she's embarrassed to ask for it. They're feeding her every day in her husband's house. The Yorshim are feeding her. She sees him. Now she's going to ask him for money. She feels uncomfortable. That means because she's embarrassed. That's why she didn't demand the money. The reason over here why she didn't ask for it is because she was embarrassed because you were schlepping the food to her every day. He questioned me. Always when you give information, you always say too much. Keep your mouth shut, the lawyers tell you. Say, he says, tell me what really happened. He didn't just say, we sent her a check and that was it. He said, I schlepped the food to her all the time. He didn't say every day, but he schlepped the food to her once a week, every day, whatever it was. He brought her the food. He says, that's why she didn't ask you for the ksuba. She was embarrassed. She saw you schlepping it on your shoulder every day or bringing the food all the time. That was as if she lived in her deceased husband's house and the Yorshim were feeding her. That's what we said in the Mishnah. If she's in their house, she's embarrassed to ask. Well, here's also she's embarrassed to ask. So Rav Rashiel Paskin, he told him, Rav Chia Rechi, you're wrong. You're wrong. You have to bear. Even though she was in her father's house, but the embarrassment was also there because she saw you schlepping the food to her each day. You got to go feed her now. Even though 25 years has passed, you got to give it to her because it's as if she's in her husband's house and you're feeding
her.
Both. Whatever she demands. If she demands the ksuba, give her the ksuba. If she demands food, so give her the food. She's not demanding the ksuba yet. She can wait for the ksuba for another 50 years or whatever. So, Achanam Shum Ksuvu Lo Tava, Zil Havla, Lo Ashkech.
Huh?
Well, I guess he had to. Lo Ashkech, he didn't listen. Lo Ashkech, he didn't listen to him. Kasav La, so she went to court, Kasav La Adrecha. When you don't listen, they write like what they call Hotzah Befall in this country. They write first a tier that allows you to go collect. you know, a tip which says, like, he owes me money. He has, like, it's a bill that the court writes. We had that before. Okay, this entitles her to collect. We've looked at the whole circumstance, entitles her to collect. Then she says, okay, I found the guy's got this field and this field and this field. Then you write an adrachta. An adrachta says that we've checked this out, and she's entitled to collect that field. Okay, so now you write the adrachta. We see this, Rashi brings down as a machlokas. From when is she entitled to the field? From the time that she got the adrachta? From the time that they publicized it? They had to publicize it? Or from the time even that it was signed? So we'll see. So kasla adrachta, anechseon is nechosim. Now the mistake was, we'll see that Rav Rashiel made a mistake here. He wrote an adrachta, which is a normal court order. It's like a court order. Court order that entitles her to collect that particular field. Okay, but he wrote it on all the fields that Rav Chiya said, because I said before Rav Chiya had his own fields, and then he had the fields that he yarshened that he inherited from his brother. So he said, "Listen, go collect the field from Rav Chiya. These are his fields. Go collect from them." Anechse osla kamarava. So now, what do you do when you don't like the rabbi's psak? Go to a different rabbi, right? Went to a different rabbi. So he went to Rava. Amalei chazimar hechidana. Look what he's doing now. It's not proper to go to another court stam for a different opinion, but he went to complain. It's like he went to a court of appeals, and he said, "Look what Rabbi Barshila did to me. Look how he judged me. I waited the 25 years, and he said, nah, your 25 years is just like as if she lived in the house. Because since you brought the food to her each day, he's saying it's as if she was in the house because she's still embarrassed. And now he wrote an adrachta. Malay shapradanach. I'm sorry. Sorry, Rav. So Rava said, listen, I'm sorry. I confirm what Rav Arshila did. He did the right thing. She's entitled to the ksuba. She was embarrassed to ask for the money. She's entitled to the shapradanach. Amalei. Now, she said something. Where is she? What is she doing here? You can't go to court without the other party. A judge cannot paskin to one side without the other side being there. It's got to be fair. So she was there too. He took her to court. He said, listen, what she said. She said, no, he's done the right thing. She said, listen, if he did the right thing, so wait a minute. Not only, so you're confirming that I'm entitled to take the field, right? I'm entitled to take the field. The adrachta is a good field, and in my field. Well, you know what? The adrachta was written a while back. I want the fruit. The field was mine already for the last, 3 months. You know, it takes, if they don't go to court, they don't hear it the next day. It's been 3 months. I want those fruits. Those are mine, because the field was mine from that day. Omer Lo says, okay, Achmi Lad Brachla, let me check the, can I see the court order? Let me see the court order. Chazer Delavik Kosaba, it didn't, the court order was improperly written. What was missing from it was, V'ishtema'uda, then a chasim, V'ishtema'uda means, we ascertained, we found out, we ascertained, then a chasim, elu de misnanu. We ascertained, in other words, what is it again? The court order says, he can collect from field X, Because we ascertained that field belonged to her dead husband, and therefore was meshuvah for her ksuba, and even though the brother Rav Chiya, the survivor, took it now, but it's part of that original estate, and she's entitled to it. Didn't say that in there. It just said that Rav Chiya said she can collect from Rav Chiya's nechasim, from his assets. It didn't specify the assets of the deceased, the inheritance, the estate. Meshuvah didn't miss it yet. Amalah, addressed to Lav Shaprik Siva. This is improperly written. You can't collect this. Amalai, okay, so it's improperly written. So if it's not properly written, so I won't collect it from the time that I received it or from the time that it was signed. But Teza, forget that drachta. Ishkum yom deshlimi yom adach achrusasa arashta. Okay, there's different stages. That drachta says I can collect in this field. So she brings that court order to a court, and they say, okay, they go to the city and they say, yeah, that field belongs to you, but, or if you want to collect the money of it, we have to publicize it for 30 days to get a proper price, to make it like an auction. We have to publicize it. So give it to me from the time that it was properly publicized afterwards. I'm not going to get it from the original date. Something's wrong with the document. It's improper. It wasn't forged. It was just something's missing there. But at least give it to me from the time of the public announcement, after the public announcement was done. Amalah, honey, Mili, you can only collect from the public announcement. Hechad the low cost of Tusa. Rabba was on himself said that... Rashi brings down, is it Rabba or Rava? No, it's Rava. Rava says that. And this is Rabba, right? Here they came before Rabba. But anyway, that opinion is, he brought down when you collect from, time it was signed, from the time she got it, or from the time that the public announcement was over. He says, even though she says now, don't give it from the time that I got the adrachta, but from the time of public announcement is based on the adrachta. If the adrachta is invalid, the whole thing is taken out of court. Now, as they show you a document, you come to court and you say the document says that document's no good. Once if the document's no good, the whole deal is no good. You can't say you accept it for part. So he says, but if there's no mistake in the adrachta, then there's nothing here. There's no adrachta at all. And therefore, you got to start all over again. Now get a new one. You might have a good claim. I agree with Rabbi Bar Shila's psak din that you're entitled even after 25 years to collect. But you can't collect without adrachta. You got to get a new one. Omer Lev, Amahu, the Omer Achrayas Tosofer. You yourself, Rabbi, said this is a famous, we had this before, you had it in this Masechta also. If you write a shtar, a loan, an IOU, and you forgot to write in the shtar, the sofer, the scribe, forgot to put in the shtar that the malva can collect from all his assets of the borrower, it's a mistake. In other words, every shtar is considered the ksuba or a loan document. Any document that's missing a chrayas that says that doesn't say that I can go after all his real estate and his assets from this day, that's a mistake. You assume that it's in there. In other words, it's a condition of any loan on which is a shtar that if the achrayas is missing, it's a mistake of the sofer, but it's considered as if it's in there. So here too, if these words are left out, we ascertain that these assets belong to the dead guy. If that's missing, why don't you say it's also just a mistake, but it's as if it's written in there? Amale Rava. So Rava told her, the woman who was demanding, Amale Rava, b'hol lekem, you can't say it's a tov sofer. Why? The ba'afila Rava Shila toy. Rav Ashil himself made a mistake. He was the one who wrote the Adrachta. He wrote the Adrachta. He Paskin wrote the Adrachta. He himself made a mistake. Tov Sofer, you could say it's a mistake to describe because nobody's going to write a shtar, an IOU, and not want to be able... What's the whole point of having a shtar, an IOU, so I should be able to collect from your assets if you don't want to pay me? Go after your assets. That's considered a mistake. This isn't considered like a Tov Sofer, and it's as if it's automatically written in there because even a great rabbi made a mistake and he can leave it out. That's a mistake. The document's improperly written. See, a regular shtar that's just missing Achrayas, that we consider it's as if a chrys is in there. It's like a boilerplate. It should have been in there. And if it's not in there, it's as if it's in there. But this was a valid mistake. In other words, not something that everybody would think of. I feel Rabbi Shilta, even he made a mistake. He didn't think of that. Why? Some take out the word mikar. But anyway, he says, mikar, who suffer? He figured, hani dideu. What's the difference which field it was? When we said before that Rav Chiya inherited his brother, right? The brother was married to Rav Chiya's mother-in-law. Right? The brother died and he inherited. So he had all these different pieces of fields. So when Rav Shila wrote that drachta, giving the woman permission to collect from the fields, she says, collect from any of his fields. What's the difference? He owes you the money, right? He was the sole heir. Collect from any of them, right? So he's thinking, what's the difference? Mali mahani. So just write a drachta. You can collect your $200 ksuba from any of his real estate assets.
That's a mistake, right?
That's a mistake. Valoi, why? Because Zimnan de Oslo Mashapcha, because maybe she says like this. She knows which field the husband had, which field she's going to get. So as soon as the court said, you're right, you can go collect, she starts already to fertilize the field. She put money, she invested money. Then afterwards, right, Udabala, right, the Oslo Mishapchalu, because Malimani, Zim the Oslo Mishapchalu, because, or maybe, not, I said it wrong, but what it is, she feels she's going to get this field, right? And she goes and starts investing money in that field. And the one of her husband is going to lay fallow. Right? Maybe their husband's field, she's entitled to one of these fields, right? So she, to any one of these fields, basically, says, go collect from any of his nechassim. Okay, she says, okay, I like that field, that's near my house. So she starts putting money into that field. Then, Rav Chiya Richa, the heir, and the one who's going to pay her off, says, oh, wait a minute, that field belonged to me. The one I inherited from my dead brother, that's that lousy one over there that nobody put in money to. Then, what is it going to look like? So he's going to take back his field. Right, and she because she's only really entitled to collect from the estate, not from Rav Chiya's other nechassim. Right, so she because if the document was written that drachta, she could collect from any of Rav Chiya's nechassim. So she goes, says, I like that one. I starts putting food in, starts investing in it. She brings it, she puts Nick in. She's investing in the field, fixing it up. Then Rav Chiya's going to tell her, oh, that one belongs to me. You can only get the one that your husband left. That's that lousy one over there. And that doesn't look good. And the truth is, which field is she entitled to? Only the one from her husband. And that's not fair. And he's going to tell her, and she's going to prove the other one. Let the husbands go bad. And he'll tell her, Rav Chiya will say, go take yours. Yours is the one from the estate, which is lousy. Give me my field back. Vasla Pukilazal Bezin, Bezin looks pretty bad. Bezin looks like they messed up.
They did.
And they did mess up. So therefore this was a mistake. The Drachter should have said, we ascertained that this particular field belonged to the estate, the husband died, and she can collect from that. That's a proper Drachter, and with that she can collect. And then she would have a claim, well, as soon as I got the Drachter, or as soon as the public announcement went out, or as soon as it was signed, the field's mine from then on, I'm entitled to the papers from that. So at the end of the day, the story was that Rav Chiya did indeed have to pay her the mezonos on the ksuba after 25 years, even after 25 years, because she was embarrassed to ask for it before. So it was as if she lived in the husband's house, and we pass like the Rabbanan, in the husband's house, she can always ask for the ksuba because she was embarrassed to ask for it. Even if she didn't have it written down, she could ask for it. So Rav Chiya had to pay. However, the Adrachta in this particular case was improperly written, so therefore she couldn't collect going back in time. She couldn't get the pairs back in time because she didn't have a proper Adrachta, because the Adrachta has to say, this woman is entitled to collect. She's already given a tirpa, we gave it, and now that she ascertained which fields are there, we ascertained that this field belonged to her husband, and she can collect from that field. Hanukhanoso, we finished the parak now. Tomorrow also we'll start at 5:20, as well as on Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll start at 5:20, long daf, short day, and on Tuesday we'll start at 5:20 because it's Rosh Chodesh also. So we'll probably have to do some of tomorrow's daf on Tuesday also, because I doubt we'll finish tomorrow's daf tomorrow. Another mistake that was, we're talking about mistakes in an Adrachta. There was a mistake in today's calendar. We should have started davening already.
Right, we should have started during
because we're doing Howl today, right?
Right.